All right, so we continue on with the sermon from where the children's sermon stopped. We bring grace and mercy and peace to you this morning from God our Father, His beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who has gathered us in worship. Today from the Old Testament reading is a story that speaks to the unhealthy condition of the human heart. It is a story about King David, the man who is described in Scripture as a man after God's own heart. A man after God's own heart is how the Scripture describes David. But after all that David had done, God had done for David, and with David's firm love and respect for God, here we find David's heart's condition leading him in the path of unrighteousness for his own passion's sake. And as it is read in the Scripture, David, in a very secret, evil, and crafty manner, planned out the death of one of his commanders, Uriah, to be specific, and made it look like it was an accident, with the one motive of having Uriah's wife as his own. This tells you how desperate and wicked the heart, the human heart is, that we try the best we can to do the things that God wants us to do. But the heart's issue makes us not to always do what God commands. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, verse 9, it says that the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Who can understand the heart? It is a difficult and very complex thing. And the heart is, as the Bible described it, the innermost part of the human being, and only two persons have access to it. Only two. It is you and God. The one who owns the heart and God are the only two people to have access to the heart. And so we find it very complex dealing with this heart issue that we all have. This is a truth that David did not quite understand, like many of us today. And after he went through this situation where he went and, you know, killed his commander just to have his wife, David learned after he went through this situation that God is everywhere. And he writes in Psalm 139, verses 7 through 10, these words: "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. And if I make my bed in the depth of if I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast." So here David sends out the message that God sees everything and God knows everything. You know, we cannot run away from God. He sees everything and he knows everything. And this is why we chose for a theme this morning: when God visits the heart. When God visits the human heart, the reason why he comes is to bring life. The reason why he comes is to bring about a transformation, to deal with the issues that we cannot deal with ourselves. Those deep-seated, hidden problems of the heart is what God comes to deal with when he visits the human's heart. So let's see what happened when God visited David's heart in this text. Let me give you these 3 points in the text to look at and consider this morning. The first one is the accusation, and it comes from 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. Look what it says. "The Lord sent Nathan to David. When he came to him, he said, 'There were two men in a certain town, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb he had bought. He raised it, and it grew up with him and his children. It shared his food, drank from his cup, and even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the one who had come to him. Now, when you look at this story is totally different from David's story. This is not what happened to David. This is a totally different thing that the prophet is saying to David. In David's situation, he had taken Uriah's wife as his own and killed Uriah so that he can have his wife. The story is different. In this story, the guy here, you know, has taken somebody else's lamb and prepared it for his guest. So the story is different. And when we look at it, we come to realize, my friends, that all of us have different story, but we have the same problem. And the problem that all of us have that makes us come together this morning is the problem of sin. Sin is the common problem that every person under the authority of my voice, including myself, have. It is the reason why we come to God. Our stories may be different. Our addictions may be different. Our needs may be different. But we come here this morning because we have one common problem. And the one common problem we have is this sin issue. In our gospel text this morning, Jesus is at the Pharisee's house. And there, a woman comes there. He's visiting with this Pharisee. And a woman comes that is considered to be a sinner. And she's there crying at Jesus' feet, and her tears are falling on his feet, and she's wiping his feet with her hair, and she's in deep sorrow. This lady is in deep sorrow because of her sins. And she feels like Jesus is able to forgive her of her sins. She knows she has the faith. And she comes to him in tears, crying at his feet. She brings her heart issue to Jesus Christ. Nobody there knows what she's going on. As far as the people in the community knew, this woman is a sinner. And she shouldn't be there to where Jesus was. And so the Pharisee who invited Jesus at his house, Simon, he sits there and in his heart, he's saying, if he is a prophet, why would he allow this woman to come even close to him, seeing that she is a sinner? You know, every time I look at this text in the Bible, it reminds me of the folks who run away from God because they feel like they are too sinful to come. Well, Jesus came for the sinners, friends. It's the reason why he came. He died on the cross for sin. He came for the sinners. And this is what the people at the time didn't understand. But here is a man judging the woman for coming to Jesus, you know, and coming so close to him, being a sinner. Whereas Jesus gave him a story talking about two people owing their master. One is owing so much money, and the other one is owing so less money. And he says, which one of them are going to be so appreciative if the debt is erased? He says the one who owed more. Well, the reason this woman is crying, because she knows that she is a sinner. And she's come to me crying because she knows she's going to be forgiven of this sin. But when she looked back on where she has come from and the things that she's going to be forgiving about, she just can't help but cry. As opposed to you, Simon, you too also, you are a sinner, Jesus was saying to him. We are all sinners. No matter how deep or how high your sin is, we are all sinners. And we come to God and we fall at the cross and we bring our heart issues to God this morning. We come to church on Sunday and we dressed up and we smell good and we look good. But the only one person who knows the content of our hearts is God. And he searches every heart this morning in this room. And he knows
the needs and the burdens and the situations that we are carrying this morning. Each person, he knows. The scripture tells you that even in the case of Simon, who was judging this woman, he didn't say a word, but he was speaking in his heart. And Jesus read his heart. Jesus listened to his heart and knew the issues that he had in there and addressed those issues. This is why Jesus comes in our lives, my friends. He always comes to address the issues that we have. And that common issue is sin. The scripture says in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned. All. That excludes no one. All have sinned and falling short of the glory of God. It's the reason why we don't do any service without having our confession and absolution. We come to God and we confess and we admit that we are sinners that can only be saved by his loving grace. We all stand accused before God, no matter our differences this morning or no matter what our story is. We all stand accused. The second point this morning is the agitation. Look in 2 Samuel 12 verses 5 and 6. It says, David burned with anger against the man who said to Nathan, "As surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this must die. He must pay for that lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity." It was only because the story was different. And now he didn't even think about himself. He's looking at this guy to be the worst person that had ever walked on the planet because of what he did. And forgot about his own story. The question this morning to all of us is, how are we dealing with the stories of others? As we come in contact with people and we hear their stories, or we look at them, how are we judging them? David burned with anger against this man. And he says that this guy must pay four times, whoever it is. We need to learn how to listen to our own stories when we hear others' stories. Every time I have the opportunity to listen to somebody tell me their story, I sit in their place and begin to hear my own story. We should not, as Christians, use that moment to judge others, but to learn from their situation and look at where God took us from. And see where he has brought us. And it'll help us to help others come out of their own situations as well. The scripture tells us, Jesus says these words in Matthew 7 verse 3. "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye?" And this is exactly what we do. We look at other people. We criticize them, we ostracize them, and we forget about ourselves. But my friends, whenever we look at people and we look at their stories, let us see our story and see where God has taken us from and see where he has brought us and know that the same God who crossed us over is able to work miracles and wonders in the lives of those who seem to not have Jesus in their lives. But here we find David is burning with anger against this guy, only simply because the story is different. Has other people's sin agitated you so bad? It's the question I want to ask this morning. And how have you dealt with it? Jesus says, don't let it create agitation, but let it create inside of us compassion. When we hear people's story, we shouldn't allow it to create inside of us agitation, but we should allow it to create inside of us compassion. Let us get filled with compassion for them. Let us pray with them. Let us encourage them. Let us draw them closer to the cross. Show them the cross through which we came to eternal life in Jesus Christ. The last point in the sermon this morning is the confrontation in the text. This is in 2 Samuel 12, verse 7. Bible says, Then Nathan said to David, "You are the man. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I anointed you king over Israel, and I deliver you from the hand of Saul." You see, folks, God deals with sin by facing it. He doesn't run away from it. When we come to relationship with Jesus Christ, the first thing he's concerned about is facing our sins. We see that as he came into this world, he went on the cross and he died. He faced sin on the cross, on the one-on-one battle, and he conquered sin on the cross of Calvary. For God to have a relationship with us, it starts with him introducing to us his holiness. And this is the reason why when he came to Israel, he told them, "Be holy as I am holy." And God introduced to them the Ten Commandments, showing them who he is and what his expectations are. But he also came to realize that we are not able to do these things on our own. We need him. So he comes to us and he brings this relationship. And the reason he establishes this relationship is to help us live the life that he, God, brings to us. But as God does it, the first thing that is on the table that needs to be addressed every time he comes in our lives is sin. Sin. Because God and sin cannot dwell in the same place. And this is the reason why he gave us all these different means through which, means of grace, through which we can come and receive forgiveness from God. So God comes in our lives, and the first thing he deals with, he confronts sin. And we see this in the life of the prophet talking to David. He talks to him face to face, and he approaches the situation, and he talks about his sin. So we should deal with our sin by facing them as well. In today's gospel, we find a woman who faces her sin by bringing it to Jesus Christ and not running away. The reason why a lot of folks who professed to be Christians have ran away from the church is because of this whole issue that we have with sin. And we just don't feel like we are ready to deal with it, or we can't deal with it. And so we keep running from God and putting it off and putting it off. But today, friends, as we come, we must understand that God knows our hearts. He knows the hearts of every person in this room this morning. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you are doing. And he comes there to have a deep inner relationship with us. The relationship starts from within. And you know who does the cleaning up? God does it, not us. All he wants is to be invited in. So the times that we take to run away from the cross, we need to use that time to come to Jesus Christ. Come, he says, cast your cares upon me because I care for you. And if we are going to have this relationship with God, it starts with us coming to the cross and falling at the cross and bringing ourselves just as we are to God. Let us face the issues that we have. The reason the church gathers like this morning is because of that one common thing. It is sin. Sin. God comes into our world to deal with it. And he comes in our world to establish a relationship with us. And so as he comes, folks, let us not run away. Let us not hide. We can't hide from God. He sees our hearts. He sees everything that is going on in there. He knows it. And so if he knows everything and sees everything, there is really no reason to be running away from God. Let us come to him and bring our hearts, because God is willing and ready to establish this good gospel, holy relationship with us as we come. So the woman comes and she's forgiving of her sins by Jesus Christ. And this is why he comes to us this morning. So David, dealing with his own sin by facing it, led him to pen these words found in Psalm 51, verses 9 through 12. He says, "Hide your face from my sin." Do not hide your face, rather, I should have said, from my sin, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit and to sustain me. It's the prayer that he prayed after he came to realize that God knows everything and he sees the very heart that we are carrying. And this morning God comes to us, and as we come to him in worship, let us, like David said these words, Do not hide your face from me, God. But create inside of me a new spirit, a willing spirit, a new heart. And I pray that the words from God this morning will encourage your faith and keep you steadfast in it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And all God's people say, amen.